Ladies and gentlemen, we are here. We are live. Welcome to the Sports Detention Podcast. Potty, how you going, mate? We're back.
Fantastic as always, mate. Hello out there. Thanks for watching.
Listening. Thanks for
supporting.
Contributing.
Yep, we love it.
Mate, massive week again. We're back. We're here, ready to talk about it all. Should we get into it, mate?
Let's jump in.
We are here. We are live from the Robert Allenby Studios.
What a place to be. Where else would you be on a Monday night?
Detention Podcast. Where else would you want to be, Potty? That is exactly right.
Exactly, exactly, mate.
Mate, how you been?
Mate, I've been really well. I mean, I was just thinking before, outside of the footy season, because we know, me and you, we love our NRL, might be my favourite 2 weeks of the year. The Australian Open, the cricket's still going, plenty on at night, the Big Bash, the Test. How good.
I'm getting to the end with the cricket, though.
Yeah.
I need some footy in my life, must say. Mate, what's been happening this week? Is there anything that you'd like to bring to the forum?
Mate, just before we go into what's caught my eye, just a quick bit of feedback or an add-on to last week. You remember last week we spoke about the pooing incident that's happening in a park in Ryde?
Yes.
And the council...
And the forensic investigation...
Yes. The
forensic proving that it is human.
Yes, exactly. It took a long time to establish that was, in fact, toilet paper that was there with the shit.
Yes.
So, anyway... apparently it hasn't stopped there, and apparently the people of Ryde are now okay to go back and poo in the park.
Good to go.
Do you know why, mate?
What has happened?
The sign's fallen down.
Ah, that's exactly right. If it's not there in writing, can't be seen, good to go.
I can't believe that didn't work.
No.
Unbelievable.
Mm.
Anyway.
Are you suggesting the council hasn't been... You know, they haven't really gone to the ends of the earth to stop the fecal matter being placed in the park?
Mate, I am saying that it looks like someone at council has just gone, oh, God, this bloke is whinging again. Someone go down and whack a sign up, and they've just washed their hands of it.
And then Senor Shitter has just walked past and gone, well, I'll kick that over. Yeah.
And I don't know that he's been washing his hands of it, but anyway.
Well, anyway. Yes, I like it. What else caught your eye, mate?
All right,
what's in the news?
The WWE, it was announced this week that the WWE has signed a deal with Netflix.
Big news.
So Netflix is going to be, they're going to have all the WWE content on their platform. Now, I think this is internationally.
Yes, I believe so. They've put out a statement. So it's the start of 2025, haven't they? So we've got the statement here from the WWE.
Yep.
Weekly live sports entertainment to Netflix. So it's going to be live streamed on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
A la you would on your cable TV network.
Yeah, and I believe that they'll have content to the entire WWE library as well, which is currently on the WWE network. And the WWE network is actually... shutting down.
Well, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that is an area when you look at TV deals and the like where, you know, certain organisations like to keep them in-house. Like the NFL has Game Pass.
Yeah.
So they like to hold on to things. So, that's why obviously there's certain NFL games that you'll only get on ESPN.
Exactly.
You won't get them on, just normal streaming network. So,
You'd have to imagine... this is something to do with the sale of WWE earlier this year.
So they've teamed up with the UFC, so it's TKO.
Yep.
The Rock's come on the board as well.
Yep.
So that's a bit more news.
Why wouldn't you get him on there?
Yeah. So it's interesting times. Look, I just can't see how the merger between the WWE and the UFC can't be a success.
Yeah.
Because there's just... I mean, there was always, and I've been an MMA fan for a long time. I've always loved the fights. There was, early in the days, it was like you had to either be a WWE fan or a UFC fan.
Yeah.
But then they quickly realised that fans were fans of both.
And then
instead of battling it out, they're now under the one roof.
Yeah, and WWE 20-odd years ago now threw out that word entertainment, didn't they? And that's where it all started.
Well, that was because the pandas stole WWF, yes, they did. They did.
The pandas stole WWF, yeah. And, you know, all right, fine, we'll change it to WWE.
Yeah.
It's better anyway. But sticking on the wrestling, mate,
yep.
Something caught my eye this week. Now,
Yep.
So, have you heard of Wrestle Ball?
I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Now, is this some sort of a basketball hybrid that has come out of the depths of Dagestan?
Yes, it has.
Yes. So, obviously, being a big fight fan, I've seen Khabib Nurmagomedov.
Yep.
He obviously, when they would do the UFC countdowns and that, they would go over to the mountains of Dagestan, and that would be the game that they'd all play.
Mm, yep.
It's an absolute ripper, isn't it?
It is. Do you know what I loved about it?
And Tell us more about it.
I had a video that I had oh, here it is. Yep.
Yep. We've got
yep.
it here.
Yep. So, if you watch it here for a second, you'll see this bloke, he rips his shirt off before he grabs him and puts him in a suplex. I just love that. Now, I wasn't able to dip into the world of wrestle ball in enough detail to find out whether that's in the rules, whether that's worth more points, actually ripping your shirt off before you suplex someone.
Yeah, you cannot obtain a suplex, or you cannot attack the player unless you take your shirt off. So that is basically the throwing of the gloves.
Yeah, okay.
You know, this is, so you can't actually grapple unless you've taken your shirt off, so then the players know who's attacking in a physical sense as opposed to attacking the ball.
Yeah. So highly skilled. I mean, you know.
Let's play it again. And this is obviously catered to our viewing audience, but we'll commentate for the listeners.
Yeah.
They're basically suplexing them, and think about the worst spear tackles you've ever seen in rugby league.
By an absolute mile.
That's just textbook in this game.
Yeah.
They're basically placing them on the back of their spine.
Yeah.
And it's just a textbook wrestling suplex, but these guys are playing on somewhat of a matted surface.
Yeah, so
when I've watched it in the past, they played in a gymnasium on hardboards.
Oh,
like you know,
so
these guys
come to the party.
Yeah,
a little
these
bit,
guys scrapping
players,
around so. Like they've made a genuine attempt to have a decent competition with this one.
Yeah, so yeah, it caught my eye the other day when I saw it, and I just thought, I wonder what wrestlers could make, you know. Could make the switch over. I mean, obviously someone like...
Talking recruitment.
Yeah, someone like Kurt Angle, Brock Lesnar.
Well, yeah.
But then I went, well, what basketballers could make the switch over, mate? You know. Oh,
could you imagine them trying to suplex Yao Ming?
Oh. LeBron?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, meta world peace.
Yes.
This is his game, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, I mean... There was, you think, what did they call it? What was the battle of it? What was it? They had the Netflix show on it. I'll think of it in a second. But that big brawl that they had.
Mm.
I mean, they could have just broken out in a game of wrestle ball.
Yep, 100%.
Would have sorted it all.
And my top choice, mate, obviously had a little bit
Malice at the Palace.
Oh, Malice at the Palace. Obviously had a little bit of experience in a WWE ring. Shaq.
Oh, yes.
Bring him back.
Shaq. Oh, very good, mate. Yeah, I mean, wrestle ball. I mean, has it got a future in Australian sport? I don't know about that.
No, it definitely hasn't. But, you know, give it a watch if you see it. Let us know what you think.
Look, mate, we're going to stick on the theme of wrestling for what's caught my eye, mate. Headline, it's just absolutely unbelievable in the news, the breaking news going around. A 78-year-old billionaire with an alleged history of steroid use also appears to be a sexual deviant.
Mm, yes.
Vince McMahon.
Oh.
Like, obviously, there's the charges and everything. So it's been a massive week for the WWE. So they've had the big Royal Rumble, the Netflix... obviously, the deal and the big news there, The Rock coming onto the board. But obviously, on top of that, they've had the negative news of all this, you know, these accusations and charges being leveled at Vince McMahon.
Yep.
Now, but of course.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Like, the funniest thing about it was obviously Triple H was had his press conference at the end of the Royal Rumble the other day.
Yep.
And I don't know... where you can go with this. But my second headline is media rattled as a wrestling executive refuses to speak about an ongoing lawsuit that directly involves a relative. Yeah. Like, you knobs. Yeah. Honestly, as it, you, like, I understand the media's got a job, but what else is he going to say other than I have no comment at this time?
Because he is a leader within that particular company and he's the man's son-in-law.
Yes. And it's an ongoing legal investigation. Yes. Now, you can throw all the shade you want at Vince.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I said before, but of course.
But of course.
But come on. Like, I mean, it's just this whole hoopla about, oh, you know, he should have stood up and, you know, actually gave us what we wanted to hear.
No, he shouldn't have.
No, it doesn't work like that.
No, he shouldn't
have. You idiots.
He played it exactly the way he should have. Because this isn't his first rodeo, old Triple H.
Rodeo made another one. Yep. Stefan Edberg. We had Stefan on the show the other week. We didn't hate him. Come on the show, but we spoke about him.
Late withdrawal.
Now, I came across the Twitter handle Morbid Knowledge. I don't know if you've seen that much, but it's just basically been popping up all the time recently. It's just like stories and facts that just pop up. And they talked about...
Entertaining.
I didn't even know it, but Stefan Edberg actually had caused or was involved in the death of an umpire. Did you know about this?
No.
So Stefan Edberg...
Like a tennis umpire.
So a tennis lineman.
Don't know why I asked that question, of course.
So when Stefan Edberg was coming through and playing in the boys' tournament, the 83 US Open, he has hit... Now, this is where I'm not taking the piss, ladies and gentlemen. Umpire Dick Wertheim was hit in the groin by Stefan Edberg and then fell off his chair and hit his head and then ended up succumbing to his injuries later on down the track in hospital. I came across this off Morbid Knowledge and I was like, no, this is some sort of a piss take.
An absolute J-up.
And I've gone in and then, first of all, I've gone, umpire hit and groin by tennis player, then dies. I'm like, I'm all in. Yep. I've got to check this out. Then to find out his name was Dick Wertheim, I'm like, nah, look, come on.
Somebody's having a...
Show yourself.
Yes.
I'm not this silly, but apparently it is 100% legit. And, unfortunately, rest his soul, Dick Wertheim was hit in the groin by Stefan Edberg, fell off the chair, struck his head on the ground, and then succumbed to... And, you know, the head injuries were the cause of death.
Yeah.
How could I put this? The head injury on the top, not the head injury down below, was the cause of Dick Wertheim's unfortunate passing.
Well, that is a story, mate.
You hadn't heard of that one?
No, I haven't heard of that
one.
No, I had no idea.
Now
you're saying it to me, I'm like, well.
This is 100%. So Morbid Knowledge on Twitter. Give them a follow, guys, because they've got some random shit. Pops out. And speaking of, obviously, low blows and, damaging.
We've both been over this one, haven't we?
Damaging areas downstairs. Darwin man accidentally exposes himself at Hungry Jack's. Now, this has been all over the news. I couldn't get past this one.
Yeah.
So...
The headline gets you, doesn't it?
The headline just reels you in, but the story just... is amazing. So an Aussie bloke who's experimented with just an over-the-counter Super Viagra because he was going to an orgy.
Has ended up
overdosing. So he's had too much of this this Pitbull Super, they call it. So basically he was on his way to the hospital and decided to drop into Hungry Jack's to get a burger on his way. And he's sitting there with what I believe to be a towel or something covering the area. But he was so rock hard that the poor young teenage attendant at the window couldn't avoid what she was seeing. So basically, he's gone into court. He's had, you know, accusations of exposure placed against him, in which he has been found essentially not guilty, or he's been, you know, found not guilty and guilty of lesser charges.
Yeah.
Of basically,
essentially, they found that he didn't deliberately do it.
No, he should have gone to the hospital, which was the judge's statement at the end. You shouldn't have gone to get a burger. You should have got that rock hard shaft looked at. Oh, your whopper was not wanted in drive-thru.
Yeah.
Look, but just the story behind it, like, just, I'm so upset.
Apparently in court he was very direct, very forthright. Yeah. This is what happened.
But it's an interesting one because it's an over-the-counter pit bull super, but it's a natural formula. But this is where it gets – so these sort of like, you know, you go to the servo and you get these things, like these little – you know, sachets and stuff like that. They're cooked in the same place as the Viagra, ladies and gentlemen. So if you did test them, yeah, they might be aimed at being natural and whatnot. There's a good chance you're going to find some Cialis or some Viagra in it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, old mate's had one full pit bull super and, yeah, he's ended up,
what was the town he was
getting
from
more
again?
Than asked for. What does it say?
Is it Humpty Doo?
Humpty Doo.
Humpty Doo.
Shout out to all our listeners in Humpty Doo.
We're big in Humpty Doo.
Oh, that's – and, I mean, the puns, the Northern Territory News. Boners are better at Hungry Jack's. And cracked fat ends in court with a whopper of a charge. How good's that?
How good's that?
All right, mate. Let's get into the footy, eh?
Let's roll.
The rugby league final was a big Wembley occasion. Oh, get that in here.
Rightio, footy chat, mate. There's a little bit going on. You know, we're starting to simmer a little bit as we get towards the trials. Mate, headline of the week for me, rugby league.
Yep.
NRL giving it a reach around.
Hang on.
The NRL has decided to reach around to some big wigs in world politics. Yeah, Joe Hockey, Kevin Rudd.
Oh, Kevin 07.
Even Harvey Specter's probably on their list,
well,
mate.
Well, you'd have to think so.
You know, the issue here is obviously the visas for the players heading over to the United States. Yep. Now, this has just popped up in the last week or so. I first saw it, Steve Mascord, who's a former, I think he's UK-based now, Steve, but he was obviously a prominent journalist out in Australia, rugby league journalist. He sort of mentioned it in relation to the Toronto Wolfpack. So for rugby league fans who may not remember, the Toronto Wolfpack were briefly in the Super League. And obviously UK players who were travelling over to Toronto to play away games against the Wolfpack were often left out of the squad if they had a criminal charge because they wouldn't get a visa. So it was really, really interesting. It was just a matter of fact that this tweet came out. We sort of started talking about it, and the next minute it's blowing up in the Daily Telegraph and the like. But it's no surprise, really, isn't it? But it's one of those things where you would think the NRL would have been all over it already.
Well, it has seemed to have caught them by surprise. It would have had to have been one of the first things you thought about. So how do we get all our players over there?
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know.
So I've heard from what's been mentioned is that the NRL put out expressions of interest last year and clubs then applied with would they like to go over.
Yeah, I remember this, that, the process. And the other. Yeah.
So you would think that they would have been a part of that expressions of interest or at least an acknowledgement that, hey, if we've got a player who has a criminal record, there could be issues with getting him a visa.
Well, you're taking 80 players over there. Certainly the visas must have been organised by now. It's not a quick process.
You would think so.
You would have thought that they would have been on this in the back end of last year at least. Like, if this has caught them, if this is pulling their pants down. Now, obtaining
I thought Matt Lodge doing his ACL was a part of the visa process.
Listen here, Lodgie.
I thought that that was what they did.
Are you suggesting Lodgie isn't going to be able to get over there?
I'm guaranteeing it, mate.
Oh, yeah, well, it's it could be
it has the potential to be embarrassing. I think it'll be fine. You know, you're pushing, you know, you've got enough push there with consulates and, you know, sort of those who are working for the country in the States that should be able to get it over the line. But it's just an embarrassing thing that should have really been sorted in-house and sort of really quick. Didn't get to this point.
But listeners, go through your teams, your favourite clubs, all the clubs that are going over there, and just read through the list. You'll find yourself going, oh, I'm pretty sure they had some sort of an issue at one point. I'm pretty sure they had some sort of an issue at some point. Whether they've been criminal record or not.
But there's also, too, the flip side of it, and this may, you know, this may be a controversial take. Players who have been charged previously, I think there's also too that understanding that they should miss out.
Mm.
Let's say, for example, if you're a player who has been charged with domestic violence, you should miss out. Yep. That is a part of the learning process and the punishment and consequence of your behaviour.
100%.
You know, so I don't think, you know, just because you're a professional footballer and you've got, you know, the likes of
Prime Ministers and the like
going in and going, oh, well, we can make it work. We can have a chat with a few people and make it happen. No. That you should be sitting at home.
Something like that is exactly the opposite to what we should be doing, because what that sends the message is, oh, yes, you did something you shouldn't have done, whatever it may be, but you're special, so we'll make an exception.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't know that that's going to fly. It shouldn't.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see how it goes. But, just an interesting talking point and probably something that could have been avoided. One of them, obviously, one of the situations is in the bit of course basket.
Mm.
But the rest of them, I mean, at the end of the day, if you're saying to young players, especially young professionals who are finding themselves in trouble, look what happened to so-and-so when they went to go over to round one, because of a behaviour that they may have had when they first broke into first grade, it's a perfect example of saying, look, be mindful, keep your ducks in order, because it will come back to bite you.
Yep, definitely, mate. What else you got?
Mate, if you can't afford a Land Cruiser, you might as well just spend a similar amount on a Mahindra. The New Zealand Warriors, mate, apparently they've offered Braden Hamlin-Ewaley $2.2 million over 3 years.
Mm.
Now, am I being too harsh in just saying, look, that just doesn't add up for me?
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think that adds up. He has not...
Like, you're losing Adam Fanua-Blake. Obviously, this is a reactionary signing, needing another grunt front rower, a leader in the pack because of losing... one of the premier front rows
that's
in the game.
Right. That's right. It's definitely not a like-for-like sort of scenario where they're trading, getting a player exactly like Adam Fanua-Blake and bringing him into the team. Webster's clearly just trying to replace him, and in order to replace him, if you're going to be going internationally, you've probably got to offer some overs. Hamlin-Ewaley is a hell of a player. I don't know that he's ever going to be worth that, though.
Mm. I think you look at the minutes.
Mm.
You know, the minutes is a massive thing because Adam Fanua-Blake plays a lot of minutes.
Yeah.
You know, he's a leader of the pack. He's come over. He's taken his game to another level at the Warriors.
Yeah.
You know, I just – when I looked at the amount on offer for the player, I thought, like, I'm not saying that you wouldn't sign Braden Hamlin-Ewaley.
Yeah,
because he's a fantastic front rower. But when you're losing Adam Fanua-Blake and then seemingly paying an absolute enormous chunk of your cap on another front rower just to get someone in the door, I think there's got to be questions asked.
I agree. It's an interesting one.
Mm, what do you got, mate?
So I saw, came out yesterday, I believe it was, the Cows. Toddy Payton up at the Cowboys has swung the axe, and he's moved on from his captaincy, Jason Taumalolo, and Chad Townsend, and he's brought in Ruben Cotter and Tommy Dearden.
Mm.
So I found this one very interesting because the reason specified why he was moving, the change in the leadership, was because he wanted to, like, he's basically paraphrasing, but essentially planning for the future.
Yeah.
He's, you know, he's got these young players coming in who've been in for a couple of years. They're the leaders. I'm going to get them to lead while I've got these old boys here for a little bit so they can bounce it off him. I get that with Chad Townsend. Chad's on contract for the end of this year, may well move on. They've got Jake Clifford at the club. He may well be the successor there. Jason Taumalolo is still on contract with that massive 10-year deal.
Well, his 10-year deal, yeah.
Yep, he's still on contract to the end of 2027, I believe. So we're talking another 3 years after this season. So so 4 years. So he's got a huge amount of time. Like, you don't need to prepare for him to be moving on and for his and for his leadership to be withdrawn.
I would say the question would have to be asked, or probably be best asked, of Jason Taumalolo. Because is the conversation there where he's like, I was made captain because of this enormous deal I was on. It felt like the right thing to do at the time. Todd Payton's inherited him as a captain or in that leadership role. Does he then go, look, I'm happy to step back, you know, and focus more on my footy?
He may have gone up to Todd Payton. That's a fair point. I'll put my tinfoil hat on though, mate, and I'll come up with a conspiracy for you.
Oh, I know the conspiracy. Yeah.
They're trying to move him on.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're trying to move him
He's
on
a million a year until 2027, the end of 2027. Absolutely. If you're not nudging him out the door, and we've spoken about it before on the podcast.
Yep.
You know, and you look at the value that you'd be getting from someone like Ruben Cotter, who's a leader, who's going to play 80 minutes,
yep.
who's going to be out there and give you everything. That is a Todd Payton-style leader.
Now, it got me thinking, mate. I started to think to myself, well, right, they want to move him on. He's on a million a year. The Cowboys might be willing to sacrifice paying $200,000 of his contract a year, and then he can move on and they can buy maybe another two forwards to fill in that gap for him, keep some of those youngsters that are coming off contract. And it made me think, well, who would go after him? The Warriors.
Well,
$800,000 for him, or $800,000 just shy for Braden Hamlin-Ewele.
Where would you be putting your money?
I'd be putting it on Taumalolo if I could do that. In a heartbeat. If it's nearly similar money.
I went down a different path. I thought you were going to suggest that he has X Factor. And he is exactly what Parramatta have been looking for.
At fullback.
it's interesting. I can understand. So Chad Townsend, he's obviously, there's negotiations around a new deal for Chad.
Yeah.
But there's nothing, no news on that at the moment. So that'll be an interesting, you know, with the scarcity of halfbacks in the NRL, it'll be very interesting what happens with Chad Townsend.
Yeah.
Especially if he wants to continue playing.
Yep. So watch this space. I feel like you might see a little bit of a rumbling going on up at the Cowboys. Mate, a couple of quick mentions. Ezra Mann, he's signed on at the Broncos. My wife wasn't happy, mate. You know, mad Broncos fan. Yep. She's seen the article. Title of it, something along the lines of Bronco extends a long term and then open it up until at least the end of 2025.
Yeah.
What? Another season? How is that long term? So
it sounds like a club taking up an option.
It does, mate. Yeah. It looks like Ezra's committed, but he hasn't committed long term unless it's a Dylan Brown type of a deal where he's signed on for 12 months and then he's got 95 years in his favour.
Oh, yes, yes. Player option. Look, you heard it here first. Reece Walsh to the NFL.
Yep.
Ezra upgrading contract 2026. Telling you, seeing Walsh, he's taken some passes from Tom Brady.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's
suggesting a bit of Tyreek Hill about him, that sort of winning style,
Yeah, I don't know.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't really care. I'd just be happy for Reece Walsh to get out of the NRL. he's a good player. I do appreciate a good talent.
Yeah, welcome to Parramatta, mate.
X Factor.
X Factor.
Look, coming out of the New Zealand, out of the land of the great white cloud, Warriors agree to shoulder the blame on Volkman.
Yeah. Job well done, mate.
So it's great for Ronald Volkman. And well done he's going to get he's going to get looked after, which is great.
Yep.
Yeah. End of story there.
Yep. End of story.
And for our listeners out there and viewers, the footy tipping competition that we'll be running a sports detention footy tipping competition. So if you would like to join the sports detention footy tipping competition, it's going to be free of charge.
Yep.
We'll just put out the code on the social media platforms. You just sign up and bring your A game and come and join us this year for a hit out on the sports detention footy tipping comp. We'll have more info in terms of prizes and giveaways and the like as they come to light.
Sounds good.
Yes. Mate, I've spent a bit of time sitting around the TV this week, but I've been catching up on series that I like. You know how you get the continue watching?
Yep, the old favourites.
So I've just been going in there and just chipping away. And I went back to The Outlaws. Have I told you about The Outlaws before?
Yeah, I think
you have. Yeah, the Amazon Prime one, and it's a British comedy. So Stephen Marchant, I think he's one of the lead writers. He's very close with Ricky Gervais. I think they've worked together a bit. He was in Hall Pass.
Yeah,
he was the British fella who played a role in Hall Pass. Cracking movie, that one. But, yeah, I watched the second season of that, and it got better. Like, I sort of had sat on it because the end of the first season, I was like, I don't think I'm ready to jump into the second season because I'm either in or I'm out.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I watched it, and it dragged me in. I'm looking for the third season now.
Yeah, so
it
was, right, you're
it
back.
Was a real good season. So it's based around just an absolute different group. So they're just – people who come from all walks of life and they end up in community service.
Yep.
And then they obviously get into a whole heap of trouble and the like through their community service. And,
yeah, nice.
Based in Bristol. It's really, really good.
Yeah.
And the community service officer, absolute pisser. It's hilarious.
Yeah. Nice one. Get
the
on
Outlaws.
It. Get on it. Fargo for me, mate. Have you ever seen Fargo?
Is Fargo – no, I've seen Argo.
Yeah, okay. Wasn't that the Ben
That's
Affleck
Ben
one?
Ben Affleck, yeah. I saw that one. That was good.
So Fargo was a movie made in the mid-90s, I think, and then there's been – this is the fifth season of Fargo. They're all standalone series, but they're all set in Minnesota, and it basically follows all these different crimes that happen around these individuals or these hitmen or particular crime families, either organized or by just bad luck. It just happened to be there at the time. But they've had some so the new season's just started. It's already got me hooked in there. But previous seasons, Billy Bob Thornton was the lead in one.
Yeah.
Chris Rock was the lead in the other, playing a serious role. That was very good. Ewan McGregor as well, I think, was back in season three. So, mate, I definitely recommend Fargo.
Fargo. I'll have to check it out, mate.
It's one of those TV series you watch because it's in Minnesota. And even though it's the dead of summer here and it's boiling hot, you all of a sudden end up freezing cold, mate.
Yeah. See, now you just turn the air conditioner down to like 16, put your ski gear on and watch it.
That's it.
Yes. All right, mate, all sports?
All sports, let's roll.
Rightio, mate. Fight talk, mate. A bit of news in the fight game. No UFC on the weekend. No fight nights. Obviously had the big pay-per-view last week. Sean Strickland and Dricus du Plessis. However, there has been some interesting movement within the mixed martial arts world this week. As reported by Ariel Helwani, one of the he's a top-line journalist in the MMA sphere. Andy Foster, so he's the head of the California Athletic Commission. There's been a discussion, and I've got the statement up here on the screen in front of us, in relation to the grounded opponent. So I mentioned it in my breakdown, and we talked about how there hasn't really been clarity on what a grounded opponent means. And for a long time in mixed martial arts, so if you put the 3 points of contact was the initial rule.
Yep.
So, but then fighters would start gaming with it. So they'd just put their hand on the ground so you couldn't knee them in the face.
Yeah.
So they're looking at trying to clear up this area, move all the grey out, and so it's looking at it being a grounded fighter being – so this is the current language, is a grounded fighter is defined as anything other than the soles of the feet bearing weight. So as soon as you put the hand down, okay. You are now no longer – you're bearing weight with the hand technically.
Yeah.
They are now looking at changing that language to a fighter shall be considered grounded and unable to be legally kneed or kicked to the head when any – part of their body besides their hands or feet come into contact with the ground or the canvas.
Okay.
Which is way better because if you're a grounded opponent, you're either going to be on your knee, you're going to be on your back, you're going to be down. If you're on all fours, but it being that your hands and feet, you're still bearing weight. You've got to be able to defend yourself.
Yeah.
So I like it. I like the idea of the change. I like... You know, I mean, I'm old school.
You love it, mate.
I think you should be able to kick grounded opponents. Don't get knocked on the ground. Yep. Like it's a part of the sport. Like, you know, but this is definitely from my perspective a step in the right direction, and it just clears it up. Like that issue last week with Arnold Allen lifting the fighter to knee him in the head.
Yeah,
you know, which was probably one of his best. You know, his best outputs within the fight, but it was taken away from him as a foul because the fighter kept putting his hand on the ground. It was gamesmanship.
Yeah, gamesmanship.
You know, at the end of the day, this would clear that. I like it. It's a move. It's a positive move. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out, but there's a fair few that are in that rules committee that are sitting down and debating this at the moment, so fingers crossed they can get something worked out. In the boxing, though, mate.
Yeah.
Tim Zhu, mate.
Yeah, saw a bit of this.
Keith Thurman locked in 30th March in Vegas. This is a big fight. We spoke last week, obviously, about the rumours, the whispers of Bud Crawford.
Yep.
You know, I think Zhu's got some work to do before getting a fight like that or a massive fight. I think this is a step in the right direction, Keith Thurman. Awesome.
Couple of weeks after the NRL's there.
So he's headed over there now already.
Yep.
So he'll be over there.
I saw him with Georgie Rose today on Fox Sport, I think.
So he's at the airport heading over. So get behind Tim Zhu. I think it's really, really good to see he's taking that step. It's that next level now, and you know, if he gets through Keith Thurman, it's off to the races.
Let's go.
Off to the races.
Oh, come on.
Rightio, mate. Headline of the week. What's your headline?
Sabalenka and Jannik Sinner take out the Australian Open titles. Did you catch these over the weekend?
Oh, I watched the men's match last night.
Yeah, so
Sabalenka... I wanted to go to bed, but I couldn't.
I did go to bed, but Sabalenka, it was as dominant a performance as I have seen. She was absolutely bludgeoning the ball. It was just a completely dominant display and one of the most dominant tournaments that you've seen. I don't think she dropped a set. I think she's dropped one set in the last two Australian Opens.
Yeah.
So an incredible performance. And I don't know if she's going to move up to number one, but she's well on her way as far as that's concerned. She was the final of the US Open, then she obviously won in Australia again, and she was making at least the quarterfinals in every tournament last year, so she's got to be thereabouts. Jannik Sinner, down 2-1 after...
Big upset.
He rolled Novak the other day, which was a big surprise, and he rolled him in a really dominant performance. Novak said he really wasn't on his game, and to be fair, he probably wasn't. But I think a lot of that was to do with Jannik Sinner and the way he was playing.
Well, to come from 2 sets down against Medvedev,
and
win it.
Poor old Medvedev. He's the only. I don't really care actually, but he's the only player in the Open era who has lost a major final after being up two sets to love, and he's done it twice.
Yeah. So. And he also, I think the court time count by the end of the final was he'd been on court for 24 hours.
Yeah, 24 hours. Yeah, it was a record.
Of tennis, yeah. So record in any Grand Slam.
So he came out swinging for the fences, and for the first basically three sets, because there was nothing in the third one, he was it was working for him.
Mm.
But it was clear towards the end of the match that that was a tactical move by him. He knew that he was not going to be able to win a really long match. If it went to five sets, he was going to fade. So he went out there and went, well, I'm going to go the 1-2 combo and I'm just going to do that 1,000 times over and I'm going to try and win a few of these matches. He was standing a lot further forward than he usually does.
Yep.
And he was having shorter rallies, hitting cleaner winners. I wonder, even though he lost, whether this might be a positive for him moving forward. Maybe he'll start to play a little bit like that earlier in the tournament so he has some shorter matches, so he's got a bit of gas in the tank.
Mm, yes. Well, I mean, you can't take any shine away from the upset, though.
No.
From Sinner. Look, before we go any further on that, as the great Austin Powell said, what does it all mean, Basil? Now, Basil Zempelis, the Perth Lord Mayor.
Yeah.
Did you see the...
I did see that.
Now, let's get down the front foot and be 100% fair. Basil has denied that it was, and says it was taken out of context. He has been backed up by the journalist who actually asked the question, said, no, you've taken it out of context, which is fair. You know, so we're going to give... Basil's got a complete pass, and he had a pass anyway.
Yeah.
Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
But the fact that they caught it on there with him saying, like, and were able to chop it up, like he said, oh, you know, the ladies' final on tonight, reserve grade then, isn't it? Like, I mean, it was hilarious.
It was hilarious, yep.
So he's come out defending it and, you know, it's put out a statement saying, you know, explaining that he was actually talking about Michael Genovese reading the news, and because the tennis is on, he was pretty much in the reserve grade because nobody would be watching the news. So who cares? I thought the first part...
So the news chopped it up. Yeah.
I thought the first one was funnier.
Yep. I agree. Happy days.
But anyway... What? Mate.
What do you got for me, mate?
We've got a question.
Yeah.
What?
Rightio, on the back of the Australian Open and Jannik Sinner's victory, upset.
Upset.
I thought we'd have a what's question looking at upsets, mate.
Yep.
So basically the way this one's going to work, it's going to be last man standing.
Mm.
Okay, so basically I'm going to give you an upset and then you're going to choose which one was a bigger upset.
Yep.
And then that one holds position and we keep going until we have the last one standing. Righto. Okay, so basically you've got to take into context the upset, but also to the enormity of that upset. Mm. So last man standing, greatest upset. So we'll start with Sinner. It was going to be defeating Djokovic, but he's won the Australian Open. So Sinner winning the Australian Open. So when we go through it, you simply just go and call out the upset that he's going to hold position.
Yep.
Okay, first one, Sinner defeating Djokovic and winning the Australian Open. The miracle on ice, USA versus the Soviet Union.
The miracle on ice.
Buster Douglas defeating Mike Tyson.
Buster Douglas defeating Mike Tyson.
Holly Holm defeating Ronda Rousey at UFC 193 in Melbourne.
Buster Douglas defeating Mike Tyson.
Netherlands defeating England in the 2014 Cricket World Cup.
Buster Douglas defeating Mike Tyson.
Leicester City's Premier League title.
Leicester City's Premier League title.
The 4x100 metres men's relay at the 2000 Olympics.
Leicester. Leicester City.
Leicester. The America's Cup in 1987. Australia 2.
I've got to go Australia too.
Greece winning Euro 2004.
I got to stick. It's probably got to be Greece. Greece winning Euro.
And the final one, Stephen Bradbury winning in Salt Lake City, winning the gold.
Stephen Bradbury.
Got to be Bradders. The greatest upset in world sport, ladies and gentlemen, you've heard it here on the Sports Detention, is Stephen Bradbury winning gold at Salt Lake City.
Special mention to Buster Douglas. Well done, mate. Yeah. You held that position for a very long time.
And a special, an extra special mention to Stephen Bradbury, an absolute hero. For those who, you know, would remember from one of our previous episodes where he saved lives.
He did, he did. I remember people at the time were like, oh, should he get the medal? Oh, yeah, he should. He crossed the finish line first. He definitely should.
All righty-o, mate. Anything else?
Yeah, mate.
Cricket?
The Windies. The Windies
have beaten. They got it done.
The Windies have beaten Australia. When I actually put this headline in, it was very tight. I thought they were going to get over the line, Australia, that is. But, yeah, the Windies beat Australia for the first time in nearly 30 years. A couple of members of the Windies team that beat Australia back then, Curtly Ambrose,
ooh,
Ian Bishop, Carl Hooper. Jimmy Adams.
Yes.
Brian Lara.
I've told everyone my Jimmy Adams story.
You have. Courtney Walsh.
Yes.
So
legends.
Now, this wasn't the great West Indies side of the 70s and 80s, but this was a very good team. This was an unbelievable team. And let's call a spade, this is probably one of the great upsets. You could have put that on your list, Greco. Yeah. This is an unbelievable upset, isn't it?
Yeah, it was. We definitely didn't expect it. And, no. I mean, we made comments at the start that we're not going to get anything out of the Australian side during this series, and it's not going to really tell us much. But, I mean, the Windies are probably telling us more about them than the Australian team are about them.
Bit of arrogance by the Australian team, would you suggest, Greco? So I'll give it to you from a couple of points of view. One, I'd suggest that maybe it was a bit arrogant picking Stephen Smith as opener just to bring Cameron Green in. Would they have done it if they were playing England or India? Mm. I'm not sure. And I don't know if you saw it, but Australia actually declared in the first innings when they were only nine down, so they still had someone to come into bat, and they were, I think they were 15 runs or something about there still behind, and they did it because, oh, no, we want to get out and bowl because it's evening, because the ball's going to swing, the pink ball.
Yeah.
Would they have done that against England or India? Would they have said, oh, no, we don't care about having a lead advantage? Oh, I'm going to say no. Yeah, I don't think they would have. I thought that was pretty arrogant.
Mm, they probably thought they were going to get out there and knock them over.
Too harsh?
Mm. No, no. Well, I think fair call. Fair call.
So Steve Smith, he is the... here we go.
Okay. We jumped in too early there.
We're back. We're back. All right, mate. So, question today. As we were just mentioning, Steve Smith is the new opener for Australia, and he did pretty well in the second innings, nearly got the Aussies over the line. But he's hardly one of the great openers yet. So what my question is, which Australian opening batsmen have scored the most runs for Australia in Test cricket? Now, most runs as an opener.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So I'm going to go...
Top five. Yep.
Matthew Hayden.
Matthew Hayden is number two with 8,625 runs.
Justin Langer.
Justin Langer is not on the list.
Mark Taylor.
Mark Tubby Taylor is on the list. He is number three, 7,525 runs.
Alan Border.
AB, not on the list.
Didn't open.
Don't think he opened much.
Might
have been Justin Langer's issue because he spent a fair bit of time at number three.
Okay. Opening batsman. Where's David Warner?
Number one, mate. David Warner, 8,747 runs. How many have got to go? One more? You've got two to go, mate.
Two to go.
One 20-odd years ago, the other a long time ago.
Okay.
But you've definitely heard of him.
Rightio.
Sort of in the same vein as Dave Warner, this one. Very aggressive in his style of play.
Slater?
Slats. Yeah. 5,312 runs. The other one, not as aggressive from the older generation.
Chappell?
No, good guess. Famous voice. And pigeon lover, apparently.
Oh, Bill Laurie.
Bill Laurie.
Bill Laurie.
5,137. Now, just to clarify, Justin Langer actually had more runs than all of them, except for David Warner and Matt Hayden, but spent a fair bit of time at number three.
Okay.
Some good batsmen there.
Well, very good, mate. Rightio. Let's clear out of that. It's time.
Presenting the undisputed,
Rightio. We are going to look at the internet is undefeated. Now, the first one that I wanted to run through, mate, is this is a website that was sent to us from a listener talking about the 112 funniest way to call a beer a beer.
Yeah, right.
Now, this was pretty interesting. So now we're going to rattle off someone for you, which is pretty good. So the first one is Denzel Frothington.
I don't mind
him. That's good.
Denzel Frothington.
Froth Whitlam's.
Yeah.
And David Hasselfroth.
Yeah, Maggie Beer's pretty straightforward. Yeah. But
my personal favourite comes in at number five, Skooey Skooey Moi Moi.
Oh, Skooey Skooey. As a Parramatta fan, you know I gotta love it.
Any there that catch your eye, mate?
Brew Barrymore's.
Brew Barrymore's. How good's that?
I love that one, mate.
Oh, that's fantastic. Angelina Caldees.
Oh. Michael Schumacher, did you say that one?
Or? Oh, no, I haven't. Michael Schumacher.
Uh-huh.
Robert Downey Schooners.
Tin Diesel.
Tin Diesel. The David Burns.
Oh, the
David. I mean, that's from reputation.
Yes. What else have we got?
Scoony Churns.
Stone Cold Steve Frothens.
Yeah. Optimus Prime.
Oh.
Oh, Schooner McGavin's.
Oh, beautiful.
Oh, so there is a list there, guys. So if you want to check out the full list, 112 funniest ways to call a beer a beer, go and
And if you've got any others that are on the list that need to be there.
Yeah, let us know. Rightio, the next one that has come out is ruining a film by replacing a word in the title with wank. Now, this is brilliant. Harry Potter and the Goblet of Wank.
What else have we got?
Wanking Private Ryan. Diary of a Wimpy Wank.
Oh, this is just, you could get stuck here, couldn't you?
Mad Max Fury Wank. A few good wanks. Star Wars Episode 5, The Empire Wanks Back.
That's an absolute
That thrill. Is good.
Well done, well done.
For those who might be on holidays, Tropic Wank. So if you do know any of those and you want to join in on the fun, how do you ruin a film by replacing the title with wank?
Yep.
Go for it, send it through to us at the Sports Detention. We'd love to hear them.
Beautiful, mate.
Rightio, mate, you got any punting?
Punting? No, I didn't get much of a punt on the weekend, mate.
I've been quiet. I'm humming.
Yep.
Just waiting for the footy season to kick off again.
Yep.
The multis in for that.
I like it, mate.
Well, mate, penis of the week, mate. What do you got?
Ooh, mate, you know what? I don't have a lot on me at the moment. I wasn't, you put me on the spot. Why don't you go and I'll have a bit of a think.
All right. For me, penis of the week, self-explanatory. People lacking tolerance.
Mm.
Mate, this week has just been an absolute bludger.
Yep.
You know, you just, and, you know, we spend a bit of time on socials and around and you hear things and stuff, but just the relentless lack of listening and tolerance that you see in society on a week like this, you know, with Australia Day and the like. It's just like, come on.
Yeah.
If you are someone who has mocked someone, belittled someone for their, you know, beliefs, their understanding or their ideas on things, you're the penis of the week.
Yep.
You know, let's be a bit more tolerant of each other and we might actually go somewhere.
Yep.
So people lacking tolerance is my penis of the week this week, mate.
Yep. Mate, I reckon that's a really fair one. For me, I guess it's a little bit to do with tolerance or changing with the times.
Mm.
I saw at the cricket the other day, mate, it was dress-up day, Saturday. Did you catch any of the outfits? They had a whole bunch of Steve Irwin.
I didn't, mate.
The Jamaican bobsled team was there in force, especially. And I saw a couple of posts online about some old traditionalists just thinking it wasn't quite... you know, how you should behave at the cricket.
Mm.
Turn it up. Do you want people coming through the door? Do you want people paying their money? Because if they don't, there will be no more cricket.
Well, that's true.
So, you know, for me, those people who just refuse to get on the case of people just having a good time, they weren't doing anything. Nah. Yeah.
Look, when we were at the cricket the other week, the best part about it was people just being a bit more vocal.
Yeah.
And, you know, people say some ridiculous shit at the cricket.
Yeah.
Some dumb stuff.
Yeah.
But you just laugh it off.
Oh, mate. All good. Yeah, I love a good heckler in the crowd. Yeah. I was watching the cricket maybe 15 years ago when Ricky Ponting was still playing, and he played and missed three times in a row of someone, and finally someone gets up and, well left, Ricky! I just was in tears. I thought it was hilarious.
Oh, very good. So penis of the week, people lacking tolerance. That's doubles that one.
It does.
But also to those who just... need to get out.
Get out. Enjoy yourself.
All right, mate. I think we're done.
We are. Well done.
Well, yep. We're just absolutely chomping at the bit for the footy season to kick off. We should get some trials amongst us in the next 2 weeks.
Trials will bring a bit of chat. We'll be able to see what the sides are going to look like. Obviously, probably be a scandal or two. There's no way they're coming back from Vegas without something going on.
Absolutely. So, obviously... we'll get some more information in relation to the tipping comp out for the listeners. As always, guys, like, subscribe to the show. Share us around to your friends or people you feel as though would like to listen to the show. You know, we can only go as far with our social media, so your help in sharing our message out to the rest is always valued. And, it helps grow this little movement we got at the Sports Detention here.
Thanks, guys.
The movement, which is... quite different to the movement of the fella at Hungry Jack's.
That's right.
That we mentioned earlier in the show. And for any of our listeners, down in Taree, home of the Panthers, we say goodnight.
And farewell.